理课堂听 class.com。
Chapter 48. Emma had not realized how important Mr. Knightley was in her life. Emma knew that she had, for many years, been the most important female to Mr. Knightley, although she did not deserve it. She would fight with him and often treated him very badly. Nonetheless, he loved her and watched over her from when she was young. Although she had many faults,She knew she was important to him, very important. Harriet Smith could not think that Mr. Knightley loved only her. She could not. But there was a chance that he could fall in love with Harriet. If Emma could be sure that Mr. Knightley would never marry, she would be satisfied. Until his return, Emma decided she would not see Harriet. Therefore,She kindly wrote to Harriet to ask that she not come visit Emma to avoid discussion of Mr. Knightley. Harriet approved and was grateful. Soon after she sent the letter to Harriet, Emma had a visitor, Mrs. Weston, who had just visited Jane Fairfax. The Westons at first felt uneasy about the visit, but Jane's anxiety was quite obvious.She could hardly speak. When Mrs. Weston suggested a walk, Jane politely declined, but Mrs. Weston again suggested a walk, and Jane finally agreed. Mrs. Weston encouraged Jane to speak during their walk, and soon Jane overcame her embarrassment. She was grateful to Mr. and Mrs. Weston for their patient kindness.Dear Jane Fairfax suffered during the secret engagement for so many months, Mrs. Weston explained to Emma. She told me she had not had a calm moment since the engagement. I am afraid, returned Emma, that I must have often made her suffer. Oh, Mrs. Weston, I caused her such pain. Oh, my love, she understands that you did not know.She spoke of you and your kindness towards her when she was ill. She wants me to thank you for all your care. Mrs. Weston's news about Miss Fairfax only upset Emma. She felt guilty for her previous behavior towards Jane Fairfax. Seeing Emma and Frank Churchill together so often must have hurt poor Jane Fairfax greatly.Emma realized that she could not have befriended Jane Fairfax. They never could have been all three together without causing Jane terrible pain. And on Box Hill, poor Jane must have been in misery. That evening, Emma was quite upset with herself, and the cold, stormy rain only worsened her mood. Mr. Woodhouse was uneasy with the terrible weather,and needed Emma to stay with him to be content. Emma thought of their first evening without Mrs. Weston, the night of dear Mrs. Weston's wedding. Emma and her father had tea together, but then Mr. Knightley walked in. This memory disturbed Emma. She knew that if Harriet and Mr. Knightley were to marry, he would no longer come for such visits.Emma would soon have no one to come for visitors. Mrs. Weston would soon have a child, which would keep her busy. Frank Churchill would certainly not come to visit. He and Miss Fairfax would move away after the wedding. Mr. Knightley would no longer come to visit in the evening. Chapter 49.The next morning, she saw Mr. Knightley pass by the window and come towards her. She had not known he had returned from London, but she had just now been thinking of him. In half a minute, they were together and greeted each other nervously. Mr. Knightley told her he had come to go on a walk with her. She thought he looked upset.Emma feared that he had told his brother of his plans for Harriet, and was upset with the response. They walked together. He was silent. She thought he was often looking at her. Perhaps he wanted to speak to her about Harriet. With a forced smile, she began to speak. There has been some news in Highbury that will surprise you.
If you mean Miss Fairfax and Frank Churchill, I have heard that already.
For a moment, the two said nothing. He then placed her hand in his and spoke.
Time will heal your broken heart, my dearest Emma. He will soon be gone.
Emma understood him and replied, You are very kind, but you are mistaken. I am only upset that I did not know of the secret earlier.
Emma,
cried he, looking at her eagerly,
you are sure that you are not upset with the news? You were not in love with him?
Mr. Knightley, said Emma, confused, I must tell you that I was never in love with him. I never have been. I know they will be happy together, said Emma.
He is a fortunate man,
returned Mr. Knightley. You speak as if you are jealous of him.
I am jealous, Emma.
Emma could say no more. She knew he would soon begin to speak of Harriet. She was about to speak of another subject when Mr. Knightley began.
You do not ask me why I am jealous of Mr. Churchill. Are you not curious? Emma, I must tell you why. But perhaps you will not want to hear it.
Oh, then don't speak it, don't speak it, she eagerly cried. Take a little time.
Thank you,
said he, sadly, and was silent. Emma could not bear to see him in pain. He wanted her advice. She must listen. They arrived back home at that moment.
You are going in, I suppose?
He asked. No, replied Emma. I stopped you from speaking, Mr. Knightley, and gave you pain. Please speak to me as a friend, or ask my opinion of anything as a friend, indeed. I will hear whatever you like.
As a friend,
repeated Mr. Knightley.
Emma, that is not what I wish to be.
He paused nervously.
My dearest Emma,
said he,
you will always be the dearest to me. Most beloved Emma, tell me, are you my most beloved?
She could really say nothing.
You are silent?
He cried.
I will ask no more.
After a moment, he continued.
I cannot make speeches, Emma. If I loved you less, perhaps I could speak more. You hear the truth from me. I have blamed you and lectured you, and you have listened. You understand me. You know my feelings. And will love me, too, if you can. At present, I ask only to hear your voice.
While he spoke, Emma was thinking of Harriet. She meant nothing to Mr. Knightley. Emma herself was everything to him. She then felt for Harriet with pain and guilt. She then spoke to Mr. Knightley. What did she say? A lady only speaks enough, so he will say more himself. He had worried, but now was at ease. He soon admitted that he had come to find out about her feelings towards Frank Churchill's engagement. He had not come to admit his love for her, but he was delighted to know that she felt nothing for Mr. Churchill, and so he told her his secret feelings. When he had arrived, his mind had been anxious, but after half an hour he was in perfect happiness. Her feelings had changed as well. In this half hour, each had the certainty of being loved and trusted. He had been jealous of Frank Churchill since his first arrival, so many months ago. He had been in love with Emma. At the Box Hill party, he had decided to go to London. He could not bear to see Frank Churchill and his beloved Emma together. He left to forget about his love. However, Isabella was too much like Emma, and he could not forget. He only loved her more. That morning, he received the news of Frank Churchill's engagement to Jane Fairfax. Then, with gladness, he returned to see her. When he returned, she seemed upset. Frank Churchill was evil, he thought. But then Mr. Knightley heard her declare that she had never loved him. She was now his own Emma. Chapter 50. Emma was in perfect happiness when she walked into the house, and she had been in misery when she had walked out for the walk with Mr. Knightley. They sat down to tea with Mr. Woodhouse, as they usually did. Poor Mr. Woodhouse did not suspect what had happened. Her father would be broken-hearted to hear the news. She had always promised him she would never marry, never leave him. And Harriet, poor Harriet. She felt guilty and could not sleep that night. She decided that while her father lived, she could not marry. It must only be an engagement. What to do about Harriet was much more difficult. How could she spare Harriet from more pain? She decided she would avoid meeting Harriet for some time. The next morning, she woke up early and wrote her letter to Harriet. Soon after breakfast, a letter arrived from Mrs. Weston. Emma knew it contained a letter from Frank Churchill. After reading the letter, Emma felt only pity and understanding for him. Before he left Weymouth, he had begged Miss Fairfax to agree to a secret engagement. He was desperately in love and could not live without her. Soon after, he arrived in Highbury, knowing she was there as well. He apologized to his father and Mrs. Weston for not coming earlier. He then mentioned Miss Woodhouse. This was Emma's favorite part. He realized that his behavior was unforgivable, but he felt that he must show interest in another woman to keep the engagement a secret. He pursued Emma because he knew she was not in love with him. At the end of his first visit to Highbury, he went to see Emma and almost told her the secret. He did not speak because he believed she already knew. Then he spoke of the pianoforte. Miss Fairfax truly did not know who sent it. He now felt terrible shame for his behavior, and was angry with himself for hurting his dear Miss Fairfax. His behavior towards Emma very much upset Miss Fairfax. He had demanded that their engagement remain a secret, so she did not speak to him often, and was quite cold to him. He then spoke of the morning at Mr. Knightley's home. He arrived late, but before arriving, he met Miss Fairfax walking and wanted to join her, but she refused. He was upset, but she knew that no one could see them together alone, or their secret would be no more. The next day at Box Hill, he doubted her love. He ignored her and showed another woman attention. A few days after, the day of his aunt's death, he received a letter from her, announcing that she would soon leave Highbury to work for the Smallridge family, as the persistent, impolite Mrs. Elton suggested. In the letter, Miss Fairfax broke off the engagement and said she regretted agreeing to the engagement because it only brought her misery. He replied immediately to her letter, but his letter was lost. She never received it. 2 days later, he received a package from her. His own letters all returned. She was extremely surprised that he did not reply to her letter, ending their engagement. He then spoke to his uncle, and he promptly agreed to the marriage. He immediately left for Highbury. He saw how ill she was and felt terribly guilty. He persuaded her to forgive him and continue the engagement, but not in secret. They are again engaged, dearer than ever.